Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen, and we are joined today with our friend, Corey O'Grady. We are so excited to chat with him about discipleship. That is something that's really on all of our hearts. And so, Corey, welcome to the podcast.
Well, it's an honor to be here, and thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, about your family, what you're doing?
Sure. So originally, I'm from St. Louis, Missouri area. Ended up during my college years in Springfield, Missouri for school. Was on staff at a church there for a few years. And then from 2013 until just recently, the end of 2023, my family and I, my wife and our three daughters, we were in Amsterdam in the country of the Netherlands. We were there to help start a church, to plant a new church in the city of Amsterdam. God was really kind and allowed us to do that. A few months ago, we transitioned back to the U.S., got to experience what every missionary, cross-cultural church planter kind of dreams of, but also feels super weird that the church is healthy. It's ready to go on without you. They don't need you anymore. And so by God's grace, that's what's going on with that church there in Amsterdam. They've got multiple pastors. It's a healthy, growing church of over 100 people from 30 different countries. And we were just privileged to be a part of it for a few years.
Yeah, that is the goal of every church planter, right? To have like these thriving churches that are going and doing the work that it's so hard for you afterwards. You and I have had a lot of talk about discipleship. And so when I was thinking, like, I really want to address a concern that I think that we have in the church, like you were one of the first people that came to mind, because the truth is, like, everyone is being discipled, right? Like, we are all being discipled and formed by something. And so the question is, what is that? And I think our churches have really neglected their responsibility to make disciples. Like, the church is not a secondary platform. It's the primary platform that God uses to grow people into the image of Christ. So I wanted to really talk to you about discipleship. I know, like, we have said before on the podcast, like, the Great Commission doesn't say to make converts, it says to make disciples. Our friend JT English says, converts find Jesus to be useful, disciples find Jesus to be beautiful. So we love our definitions at Grow in Grace. We define everything. So we're on like the same like playing field. What is a disciple?
Of course, and we could spend the rest of our time just talking about that. But I was thinking about that even before we started our conversation today. And I think it's at the root of why there are issues, or maybe you could call it a crisis, like in discipleship in a lot of churches in the U.S. It's because a disciple is anyone who confesses and believes the gospel. But a healthy disciple is something more than that. So, right, scripture tells us if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is a disciple. That is a believer. That's a Christian. But what does a healthy disciple look like? I think it is that one who confesses and believes the gospel. That's first. Second, it's somebody who is growing in their love of God and their neighbor. And then three, it's someone who is leading other people to do things one and two, to confess and believe the gospel, and to be growing in their love of God and their neighbor. I think that's what a healthy disciple is doing. And so often we stop short in our definition to how do we get across the line to declare someone as a disciple? And we pray that people become individuals who confess and believe the gospel, of course. But to be healthy disciples, I think, is so much more than that.
Completely agree.
That's really good. We had talked about in one of our previous episodes that we discussed the Lifeway Ligonier study that was released on the state of theology in the church, right? And I know a lot of people were reading and digging into it, and kind of, I'm sure you, as you know, having discipleship being a focus, was really important, or really a interesting thing to read. And those findings showed that there's really a lack of basic theological understanding that I think took a lot of people by surprise, especially if they don't live necessarily always in that arena.
Yes.
So why do you think that is?
Why do I think that there's kind of that crisis? Is that what you're saying? Like that, where these numbers are showing people don't understand basic theology? Yeah, I think there's a couple reasons, but I think that one of them is people see or believe that theology is simply facts, as opposed to the way that we know, love, and enjoy God. And so if theology is simply a set of trivia facts, then that sounds boring, unengaging, and honestly unnecessary for me. I learned the facts and the knowledge I needed to become a disciple, right? I understood the gospel. I believe that it's true. I agree and confess those facts. But now, after that, why do I need all these other extra facts on top of that? And so I think in part it's because the church has done maybe a poor job in helping people understand what theology is, and that not only in learning theology do we understand what's right, and we do, right? We understand what's right and what's wrong, but we also understand what is good and what's beautiful. And I think a lot of people see theology as unnecessary, and therefore they don't engage with it because they're camped only in the, I will know the right or wrong facts if I learn more theology. And you will. But if you learn more theology, you'll also learn what is good and beautiful about God, so you can know him, love him, and enjoy him now and forever more than before you learned these things about him. So I think there's a lot of contributing factors, but I think even just reframing, or maybe properly framing is the better way to say it, what theology is a helpful starting point to kind of addressing some of those issues that are a crisis when it comes to theology and discipleship in the local church.
Yeah, I found it really interesting as I was reading that study that like other world religions know our scripture better than we know our scripture. And when I read
Absolutely.
that blew my mind. 'Cause like that is like what a treasure that is for us, and that we don't even know our Bibles, you
And
know?
I, this is something that I definitely don't have all the answers in this, but I think I have a bit of a unique perspective in that I've heard for years within American culture, if you want to see what American culture or even religious culture here in the States will look like in a few decades, look at Western Europe, because we tend to follow their trends a little bit. It's not a copy and paste, but we tend to kind of follow those trends. And so I feel a little bit kind of like Marty McFly and Back to the Future. I feel like I went to the future for a decade, now I've come back. And so I can say for sure, if we're trending in any way towards the culture and philosophy of religion that Western Europe currently holds, then they often will know, again, as you said, more about our foundational beliefs than the average Christian. And so if we don't in the States get a firm hold in our discipleship processes on what are the foundational historic truths of the Christian faith, it's going to be a struggle for us in the decades to come to be people who honor God well and are able to share God well with other people. Because if we don't know what we believe and the non-believer knows it even better than we do, we're headed for a world of hurt. And more than that, forget ourselves. The glory of God is at stake. And so we want to honor and worship him well. And so if we're heading again towards that same trajectory as Western Europe, where they know the Christian faith foundationally, often better than we do here in the States, even if they don't believe it, we're going to have to kind of prepare ourselves for what's coming.
I think it's so interesting. One of the things I think on a lot is like you have these two camps of people, right? You have people who, especially I think women, a lot of women, their theology, what they believe to be true, is what makes them feel good, right? It's like a feeling thing. And then you have like you said, you have another camp that is, I know these facts. But like when in reality, like we're called to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Like all of us, it's very holistic. Like discipleship is very holistic. I think, you know, I'm thinking about America specifically. We live in a very like consumeristic society, and people also often will pick a church, will go to a church of like whatever makes them feel good, like elevates their feelings. I feel like it's a shop sometime. I actually joked before we landed, before my family landed at the village, I'm like, I'm going church shopping because that's what it felt like. Like what best fits my needs, you know? And so I think oftentimes the discipleship, what's the word? Like view of a church is to give people what they want, not what they need. So like, what would you say? Like, what do disciples, what do people like need? What should they like in a discipleship environment?
I think there's, I mean, a few major categories, and these are things that some of our mutual friends have said, and we've talked about before in previous conversations. But I think every disciple needs environments of worship, learning, and community. And I think also admitting in all of those spaces that we will never be done growing. I will always be growing more in my ability, my love, my passions for worshiping this gracious God who knows me and has saved me, right? I will always need to be growing little by little, day by day, in what I know about this God. I need to grow little by little, day by day, in the community that I have. I have this fellowship with our triune God, but I also have fellowship with his people. Right. I have community with him, and I need to be growing in that and realizing in none of those spaces that every disciple needs, right? Environments for worship, learning, and community. I'll never arrive. There's never a perfect space, and I'll never arrive completely in my growth. I will never attain perfection in any of those spaces. And I think that's a key foundation for a lot of what it means to be a healthy disciple as well. I was actually talking to a group today about this very thing. I was talking to them about being teachers of the Bible, but I mean, this applies to us and just being disciples, is that we're never done learning and growing. And what that requires is that we are always ready and willing to admit where we've been incorrect or we've been ignorant on something. And ignorant just means I don't know. I don't know this thing.
It's
But I
having
want to and I
humility.
need to. Yeah, having humility. Or I did look at it this way, but now I'm realizing that wasn't the right way to look at it. Like God's word is showing me something different. But when we're saying we're never willing or ready to admit I was ignorant on this or incorrect, it's going to keep us from growing in any of those areas that every disciple needs.
And that's not natural for us. Like
No, not at all.
we don't want to admit that we don't know something, or as we're just naturally bent inward, right? We're prideful people, but that
Which is
is like the
funny,
first
right?
step.
Because if you ask any group of people who profess to be Christians, are you perfect? They're all saying no. If you ask them who sinned this week, every hand goes up. If you say who sinned today, probably every hand is still going up. But then you ask, okay, where have you failed? What did you do incorrectly? What did you not understand? Well, now everybody gets quiet. And so we have this disconnect from what we would agree to on paper. And what we're willing to admit to in front of other people.
It's so interesting.
I know, I was just sitting here thinking, and as you were talking about admitting that you're wrong or that you believed something incorrectly, I know Shannon and I have walked this journey together about with that, and I know Corey, you as well, I'm sure, walked that journey of when you started just getting into scripture maybe a little bit more deeply, and just and how you really did. You were like, oh wow, there's some things that I have held to for many, many, many years because that's how I was taught, or because, that's how my parents believed, and that's how, they told me to believe. And it takes a lot of humility and a lot of just, I don't even know the word to put in there, but to be able to say, oh wow, I got this wrong. And especially if you've been in any kind of teaching capacity in the past, right? That you've taught it
Absolutely.
incorrectly. And to be able to say, wow, I taught that incorrectly. I can't do anything about that in the past. I mean, if you've taught heresy, then you probably should circle back around with those people and be like, hey, by the way,
Walk
that was
that
a
back,
problem.
please.
But, especially when you're in a teaching capacity or in anything like that, being able to say, wow, I taught that incorrectly then. I need to, moving
Yes.
forward, be able to teach it correctly.
Yeah, I also think that something, I mean, Corey said this, but like just to reiterate it, one of the things that we tell our kids, we're very like, if we don't know, we say, I don't know, but I will find out, or I will do the hard work of figuring out. And I think we're just so, we don't like to admit that we don't know something. And I don't know is like a great answer. It's a perfectly acceptable answer. Please don't try to make up things about God's word.
And especially if you've
I don't know
been
is
a
great.
believer for many years, right? Like if you've been a believer, if you're clocking 20, 25 years as a believer, and someone who's maybe a younger believer comes to you and asks this question, you might feel that pressure to spout off what you might think and not say, I don't know. Let me go find out the answer.
Yeah.
But isn't it funny how, if any of us look back at any point of growth in any part of our lives as disciples, it began with us admitting, I didn't do this right, or I didn't know this. Every single time, like every time I've grown, that's where it started. Yet often in my flesh, I'm so hesitant to do that again and again. Yet I know, at least intellectually, that's how I'm going to grow, how any disciple is going to grow.
Exactly right.
So I guess the question becomes, what about those people who are intimidated by theology, right? Our audience is primarily women and may not have grown up that theology was something that they were, that was accessible to them to learn theology, or they might think that theologians are just like s academic scholars, and they may be women who never went to college and, just have not had that opportunity, or have and they didn't excel at it, or any of those major, any of those possibilities. What would you say to those people that maybe are intimidated by the idea of studying theology?
I know this wouldn't be everybody, but I think it's a lot of people who would express, I'm intimidated by this pursuit. At the root of it, in their heart, there's a fear of failing.
Oh,
Like,
yeah.
I won't know enough to even start this process, or feel like I'm going to be the dumbest person in the room, or everyone knows these things except for me. I'm going to be behind from the jump, right? Like, there's this fear of, I already have failed and can't catch up. Or I will fail, so then why even start? But if we can circle back to the life of every growing, healthy disciple in their pathways to growth begins with, I don't know, or I'm not sure, or I might get this wrong, but I want to learn, I want to grow. If you have a desire to learn and grow, if you want to know God more, to love him more, to enjoy him more, you're already 10 steps ahead. Like, you're already doing the right things because of your heart posture. You're not failing, you're already succeeding. So if you're intimidated by theology, but your desire is to know and love and worship and enjoy God more, you're already succeeding in the heart posture of doing theology well. And in the process of us learning together, what it should look like, and again, this is not everyone's experience, unfortunately, but what it should look like for us as disciples, as local churches, doing theology, doing discipleship together, is we should be so invested in each other and our desire to encourage one another to grow. Because at one point, we didn't know things either. The things that we know today, we didn't know 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20 years ago. We had a starting point too, just like that new Christian that's sitting next to us, or the Christian that's been in church for 20 years, but finally admitted, there's a lot I don't know, and I've got questions, and can you help me? We should be the biggest cheerleaders and encouragers of people like that, saying, praise God that they want to know, love, enjoy, and worship him more. And whatever I can do to help and encourage you, I want to be a part of that. Now, again, I can't guarantee this, but I think it's a pretty good possibility that a lot of people in your local church, there are people like that. It may not be everyone, but I would bet there's a someone who would want to come alongside with you and say, hey, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you showed up and you want to learn more about God. Let me encourage and help you along in this process. That's who we're called to be as disciples. And so, that's kind of the two things that I would share with those that are intimidated. One, if you have the heart posture, the desires to learn, you've already started succeeding in doing theology well.
That's right.
And second, if you can take that scary but necessary first step, stepping into that room, stepping into that class, stepping into that Bible study, I think there's a high likelihood that you will find at least one person who is so encouraged by you being there and wants to be an encouragement to you, and you won't have to do this alone.
Yeah. I think one of the most beautiful things that I can speak to is when we were having like the training program at my church. We've talked about this. I get to lead a table of women, and some of them are like right out of high school and 18, and some of them are grandmas and in their 60s and 70s and are terrified when they start. But they always make that first step, and they're always met. Like, I'm their biggest cheerleader. I'm like, you guys are going to be so shocked what God's going to do through this year. And they always are. And it's one of my most favorite things is to see people of all ages like stepping into that, saying like, I want to know more. I want to know more about who God is. I was thinking of the Westminster Catechism, as you were saying, like man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And so like that is the heart of like making disciples. Like our podcast, we really want to call women into a deeper relationship, because I think so many things, not all churches, but a lot of churches, everything's just very surface level, and Jesus is too beautiful for anything lesser, you know, like dig deep into scripture. That's like our heart. Like, and you'll be met. Like the Holy Spirit will meet you there. You know, you're not going to do all the work and then just be like, I don't, he's quiet or he's silent. Like he's faithful to show up and reveal himself and illuminate your eyes. And that's one of my favorite things, is that I'm a different person now than I was last year. And that's because the Holy Spirit has illuminated things to me that I've like not seen before. You know, even though I've been like a faithful student of the word. So I think I want to turn just a little bit. We talked about what do disciples need, right? Like the church often gives people what they want, not what they need. You know, some of our friends, we've talked about this, would say like, you need more Bible, not less Bible. And so, and I'm very passionate, like I said, about making holistic disciples. So you need to think deeply about God so you can love him more. Those go hand in hand. So what would you say, like maybe to a pastor that's listening or someone who like wants to start these more, I don't want to say intense. What's the word you would use? Environments. Intense is not the right word. A more
Intentional.
intentional. I was so close. Good job, friend. Intentional, environment. Like, how can the church make holistic disciples who love God with their heart, soul, mind, and strength?
I would encourage them. This is a really easy place to start. This is going to be somewhat scary, maybe, to be honest about this. But I would say do this exercise. Don't just think about it. Actually, either type it out, write it down. If you're a pastor or a church leader, take out a piece of paper. Do not prep. Don't think about this. Don't do Google searches. Don't look back in your files or your Google Drive. Just take a piece of paper, take 2 to 3 minutes, and write down what is everything that you know is essential for every disciple to know. Not if you're going to be a pastor, just you're a Christian. This is essential for every Christian to know. Don't list your doing because our doing comes from our knowing. We can't do
Yeah,
what we don't know.
that's right.
So list everything you can think of in 2 to 3 minutes as fast as you can. No prep. What does every disciple need to know? Finish your list, look at it, and then honestly ask yourself within the ministry that I lead. If someone's part of our church for the next, we'll say 3 years, will they have an opportunity to learn everything that's on this list? Not that they will. You can't force anyone to learn or participate in anything,
That's
But will
right.
they have the guaranteed opportunity? Not if the sermon series happens to hit on it, not if their small group happens to pick a book that covers it. You just wrote down and said, this is essential for everybody that confesses Christ as Lord. They have to have it. So are you giving them the opportunity to learn it? I will say,
Good.
I did that exercise about 5 years ago and it was crushing because my answer was no, not even close. But it started my planning and thought processes around what do disciples need? I just wrote it down. And of course, over time, I thought more, talked to other people, and that list evolved and changed, and there was edits. It wasn't the exact list that I first started with in that 2 minute exercise, but it got me going because the heart of that list did stay the same. And I realized we're not giving our people an opportunity to learn these things. How can we create learning opportunities that encompass things that we know every Christian needs? And if they choose to participate, we know it'll be for God's glory and for their good. If they don't, again, we can't force anyone, but we can give them the opportunity. I think that's a great place to start because it will start showing you maybe where the gaps are in your discipleship processes, especially when it comes to your learning spaces in your church or your ministry.
Yeah, that's really good. That's a really practical, like, first step that a pastor can do. 'Cause like I know your heart is this, but I'm like so like I just want to like see every church have these learning opportunities for people. 'Cause I've seen generational change happen because of the spiritual formation that has happened in these classes. And if we can give our people, like give our church members, I was telling my parents the other day, I was like, I'll never stop advocating on behalf of, I was talking in this context, women specifically, but to give them a seat at the table. Because, I mean, God invites them into it, right? Like, it's not, discipleship is not just for your husband. Like, it's for you. It's for you too. Because, I mean, honestly, if we're talking about it, in an ideal world, mom and dad are the primary disciples for their kids. But oftentimes, it's the mom that is doing this over their children a lot of times. And so, I'm just so passionate about women, like, knowing that they can do this too. Like, scripture is for everyone, right? The Bible is for everyone. That's what we say. It's profitable for everyone. Yeah,
And
I
I've
don't
been
know. That's my
involved in spaces
soapbox.
like this for a few years now. Like since I started learning more about it, I wanted to help others do the same. And again, this is not accurate or a fair description of every class that I've ever taught. But generally speaking, when I think about learning spaces that I've overseen or been the teacher in, generally speaking, some of the best students are the women. Or I have more women taking that learning opportunity seriously than I do men in those spaces. And I think, unfortunately, maybe a part of that is because women aren't often given those opportunities to learn deeply. That for some reason, there's certain levels of theology or knowledge, whether it be intentional or unintentional, have somehow been put in a category that this is only for men. So
That's right.
then when women get the opportunity, they tend to take it really seriously and are phenomenal students of God's word. And I learn from them, even though I might be a teacher in that environment, their desire to learn the questions that they're asking, as my sister in Christ, they're helping me grow, even though I'm the teacher in the space. So for any of your listeners, women who are being have an opportunity to be involved in these spaces, you will learn and grow, but by being a follower of Christ first. Right, that's your first identity.
Right.
Who is also a woman, you will encourage, edify, and help grow your brothers in that space, teachers or otherwise, just by simply being there and being part of that learning environment.
That's right. That's right. I
So
love
cool. Switching gears slightly. But Corey, you had said you got to spend some time in Amsterdam, right? And then you said just recently you've been back stateside. So gonna give you an opportunity to talk about what you've been doing the last few months stateside and kind of what the discipleship space looks like and what you've been, doing with churches.
Sure. So about 5 years ago, like I said before, I started kind of this journey of thinking through discipleship spaces and learning environments, in our church there in Amsterdam. And then over the next few years, as we were learning and growing in that, I had the chance to help primarily some other church and ministry leaders in Western Europe think through these things for themselves. Well, as we've transitioned back to the US, we're still praying through right now, like kind of what some of our next steps are in this season as we are back in the States. But one of the things I am doing right now that I love that I get to do is be a part of something that I'm calling Cultivate Disciples. I want to be a part of helping local churches here in the US think through so many of the things that we've been talking about in this conversation. Think through where are the gaps maybe in your discipleship processes, helping think through what do disciples need? What does it look like to little by little, stage by stage, phase by phase, introduce more and more opportunities for disciples to grow? Because learning should never have a terminal point. We should always be growing and learning in deeper and more rich and beautiful ways. And so through Cultivate Disciples, what I'm able to help churches do is look at assessments for their church, look at curriculum resources for discipleship and learning in their church, things like teacher development, both for people that are desiring to learn how to teach but never have, or just helping develop teachers that have been doing it for a while but just want to improve and grow in what they're doing. And then just again, just kind of this big picture of the holistic planning and process for what does a disciple need when it comes to worship, to learning, and to community. These are questions I think a lot of pastors have, but often don't have someone they feel like can be helpful in the space that they can talk through these things with, right? And so I want to be that partner with them through Cultivate Disciples. And the biggest thing I try to drive home as I'm helping churches work on these things, work on their discipleship spaces, is we want to be grounded in the principles of God's word far more than we are any particular program. So as I get to work with churches, it's not about saying, here's a copy and paste option for you. You should clone what we did in Amsterdam. In fact, I tell them, no, please don't. But here are some discipleship principles I'd love to help you think through so you can have the tools to build something that fits your church in your context that can be healthy and long lasting for the disciples that are in your ministry. So Cultivate Disciples is my opportunity to get to do that now, more with US churches now that we're back in the States. And I'm just loving the opportunities that I'm getting to do that.
I think that is like such a gift. Like you're gonna be such a fantastic resources for the church. Like I'm like over here nerding out. I'm like, this sounds like the best thing in the world. So I cannot wait. We're gonna put your website, like how, not website, but your email address, your all the ways you can contact Corey, if this is something that you would love to have, like do like consultations, I guess,
Yes,
first
and
so I can get to know
absolutely.
you.
The first thing we do is just have a 30-minute call. It costs nothing. You're not invested or committed to anything. It's just me getting to hear from you. Hey, what do your discipleship spaces look like? And how do you think I might be able to be helpful to you in your particular ministry? And if there's a good fit to move forward, that's great. If not, hopefully I've made a new friend. And we'll be praying for each other as we do
That's
discipleship
right.
in our own context. But that's how everything starts at Cultivate Disciples, is just that Zoom call so that we can get to know each other and see if there could be a way to work together moving forward.
I love that. We're gonna put all of this in our show notes because I know that Corey's a massive gift to the church and that he will be a fantastic gift for your ministry. And so I want to like conclude with really, it's like a quote that I love by D.L. Moody, and he said, "I never saw a fruit-bearing Christian who was not a student of the Bible. Like, if you want to grow in your relationship with God, like you have to be a student of the Word. Like, there's no other way to do it." And I think the current crisis of discipleship has told people that they can know Jesus as Savior without knowing Him as Lord, and that they can be justified without being sanctified. And that's just not the gospel. And so, like, our heart is that, like, yes, you are justified. If you love and trust Jesus, you are in right standing with God, but like, you are called into something deeper, right? Like, eventually, you're called into maturity and eventually glorification in Christ. And so, We are very passionate about discipleship on this podcast, if you cannot tell. And so, Corey, truly, thank you so much, like, for coming on here. I was talking to Kristen and I was like, we got a lot of women on here and we really want to continue to have that. But also, I want to get some brothers in here. Like, let's talk, like, as brothers and sisters and like how we do like discipleship together. And I think you are like, you and I have had many conversations about this. And so you are truly like one of the people I'm like, I know I can call Corey anytime I need to. And we're going
Well,
to talk
thank
this
you
out.
so
So.
much for having me. And also, I appreciate your heart for women to be able to know and love God through doing discipleship well, through doing theology deeply, so they can know God deeply. And I'm saying this in a very personal sense, as the dad of three girls, I want my daughters, my prayer for them is to know and love God deeply. And it's women like you, women like your listeners, that are getting to pour into people like my daughters, that they can know that theology is for everyone, and that includes them.
That's right. That's right. That's our heart.
Well, I think that's a perfect place to end. Until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.